I will allow you to change me. All right. So our key scripture that we've started 3 weeks ago and we're going to read today again is Romans chapter 12. So open up to Romans chapter 12. Open up to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Praise God. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, raise your hand if you're one of those. If you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, he's writing to you, brothers and sisters, followers of Jesus, okay? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Again, I'm going to say, chapters 1 of Romans 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way to chapters 11, he goes over what the mercy of God is. You know what the mercy of God is? He just paints this picture every chapter over and over. He says, God sent his son Jesus to save you. And it's not by works. It's just by his grace that you receive him. And that's Christmas. That's, you know, God's, this is the whole thing, Christmas. So he goes over that, God's mercy. We're saved through grace. And then it says, since God did all of that, that's a lot, right? Since God did all of that, how could I not? Why would I not want to just lay my life? And the next part says, offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The foundation of worship, like if I can give you like the simplest definition would be, I surrender. You have to start there. Because you'll never do this, this, or this, okay? You just start with, God, I surrender. I surrender my life. That's really the simplicity of worship. Amen? So this is us saying, God, I surrender my life to you. Praise God. Thank you. And the next verse tells us what happens when we surrender our life, when we actually do it. It says, verse 2, do not be conformed to the pattern of the world. And we talked about this the last couple of weeks. This world we live in is going to squish you and mold you, right? It'll squish you and mold you. All right, it's just trying to, and some of the stuff is good, right? Some of the stuff that I have learned in life, just going to school and people, they've been good. Not all of it's bad, but there's a whole hunk of it that's not good. All right, so this world is trying to mold your belief systems and push you in directions. And he's saying, hey, it's time to break loose. Well, how do you break loose? That's the next part. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds, okay? Renewing your minds, what does that look like? Well, you can listen to someone teach the word, like today. You can open up your own Bible and read the Bible, like you all did this morning. Awful quiet in here. Okay. Sure, Pastor Dean. No, today's a free card. You know, you get free cards because you come to church. But so you can listen to the Bible. You can read the Bible. And what you do is you grab hold of a scripture. That's whatever's going on in your life. You grab hold of it, and you know, I'm going to meditate. What does that mean? I'm going to read that in the morning. I'm going to grab that in the afternoon. I'm going to grab that in the evening. I'm just going to keep it before me. And you know what that word will do? That scripture will do? The word from God will do? Guess what it'll do? Transform you. It will transform you. It'll change you, okay? And what it does, it renews my mind, and it pushes some of the not great thinking out, and it puts good thinking in. How about God's way of thinking? God's way of thinking. So that's what happens when we get transformed, all right? And we talked about that word transformed in the Greek. It's metamorpho, and that's where we get a metamorphosis, right? That's that caterpillar to a butterfly, right? That's what it means. And it simply means that there's going to be a change from one thing to another. How many of you like change? Y'all liars. Okay. My kids go, Ma, you need to take that off the wall. That thing has been there 20 years. You need to change. I'm like, what? I like it. And, you know, so change. But how many of you realize there's some things in your life that probably need some change? Your spouse will say, you better raise your hand, right? There are things in your life, honey, that need to change, okay? Change, all righty. So the great thing that happens in your life and my life with change is, you know, how about this? It brings peace in my life where the whole world's blowing up around me or complunking in the potty. All right? It'll bring peace. It'll bring joy when there doesn't look like there's anything to be joyful about. Transformation, renewing your mind, just will set you free in any area of you in your life where you have bondage. The Word of God will be transforming and set you free. Look at your neighbor and say, get free. Yeah. All right. Today, I'm going to wrap this thing up and we're going to talk about rewards. Raise your hand if you like rewards. Anybody have reward cards? Oh, yeah. Praise God. Well, I'm going to talk about a different kind of rewards. It's the rewards that we receive from Jesus when we follow after him, when we labor for him, and I'll get more into that. So we're going to talk about rewards that Jesus dishes out. Anybody want to get some dished out rewards from Jesus? I sure do. All right. But I want to start with a story. This is my pastor friend. He lives in Pittsburgh. Tells the funniest stories. I actually watched him on his, I was going to go, it's not a show, his church ministry. It's on TV. So he tells this story. He's walking through, I don't know if it was a mall or the grocery store, and a gentleman stops him and he says, "Hey, I know you. You're Pastor so-and-so. I watch you on TV." And our pastor so-and-so, because I can't always say, our pastor, you know who I'm talking about. The pastor says, "Well, yeah, that's me. Why don't you tell me about your life?" Right? And the gentleman says, "Hey, I've watched you, but I don't agree with everything you say." And the pastor said, "Well, that's okay. Why don't you tell me about yourself?" And this guy just digs in. He goes, "Well, you know, I do not believe what you say about that we get rewards. I believe that we get rewards and everybody gets the same reward because we're a Christian." And the pastor says, "Well, there's a yes and a no to that. You're partially right." He says, "You know, if you've received Jesus, you have an inheritance flat out." That's it. Anybody received Jesus here? You have an inheritance, flat out. He says, but rewards is what you do after you've received Jesus in your life and you serve him. And we're going to talk about that. Well, this guy just kind of got ticked and they couldn't come to an agreement. They got, you know, it's sort of like this debate. How many of you know about the second sentence? You just say, "This is a debate. This is not going to be good." You are smarter than a fifth grader, right? You just go, "Okay, we're just going to agree to disagree." All right. So they did. He walked away. So today I want to talk about the difference between rewards and inheritance. Rewards and inheritance. And if you're writing notes, write these down. Here's our main idea that I want you to understand so clear when you walk out of here. You got it. Here it goes. We are redeemed by his work. Everybody write that down. We are redeemed by his work. Who's the his? Jesus. We are redeemed by his work, but guess what? And we're rewarded by our works. Hope you have a couple of them, right? Okay, so I'll say that again. We are redeemed by his work and rewarded by our works. Guys, there is a huge difference, right? There's a huge difference. Redeemed by his works simply means that we receive an inheritance when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We receive an inheritance when we accept Jesus as our Savior. Aren't you glad you have an inheritance? If you've accepted Jesus, yeah. Now, this is the thing. You can't work for it. You can't be good enough for it, bad enough for it, fat enough for it, skinny enough for it. You can't work for it. Okay? It's so good. All right? But you have an inheritance if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, I'm going to tell a little bit about my story. When I grew up in this particular denomination, we were about doing works, okay? And some of this is not what I learned there. It's just my goofy thinking, okay? So I kind of had this goofy thinking that went like this. I can't go to heaven unless I have enough good works to balance out my bad stuff. Okay, I can't, if I have enough of these good things, good works, it'll balance out all the bad stuff, like a scale here, all right? And I was real little, and I kind of had that thought in my brain, and I would think about, I have to do this, because I got to have enough good things to pan out all the bad things I did. And then I got to be about my late teens or 20s, and I thought, shoo, baby, there's no way this is going to pan out, so I just might as well, whatever will be, okay? Now, I still had a God conscience, but I just stopped trying to have enough good things to pan out the bad things and said, what the heck, and, you know, I'm a child of the 70s, and you can fill in the blanks. So that's where I was. Now, this is crazy, though. I still went to a church on Saturday night before I did everything else on Saturday night, you know. So I was like, what the heck? Go ahead. Okay, so I told my story last week, the rest of the story, you know, the rest of the story. I'm in college. I think it's my junior or senior year, and I've got these two girls, and they are sharing Jesus with me every day. A couple of times a day, because we had classes like first class, and then we had to wait around for the second class, and then we'd have the third class together. And they were just, I don't want to say pounding, but they were consistent. Doesn't that sound better? They were consistent, and they were consistent, and they were, and they would tell me about Jesus. And one girl I told you, I said, my gosh, what is she smoking now? Because I knew the life that, because I did the life with that she was doing here. And the other girl, Lizzie, man, she was so straight. And Pat's with Lizzie, and they're just, tell me about Jesus. And finally, I don't want to say that they wore me down, but finally my eyes got open, and I was like, I received Jesus, my personal Savior. I received him. He was mine. And I received him, and I was like, yes, I don't have to work to receive him. Because I wasn't doing a very good job of it. So I just said, I will receive Jesus as my personal Savior. And he loves me. He loves me. Do you know today that he loves you? No matter what you've done, he loves you. Some of you just close your eyes and go, thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. I know I was yelling and screaming, whatever happened today. But I thank you, Jesus, you love me. I thank you, Jesus, you love me. I'd received Jesus, and I knew that I was going to heaven, all right? But that works stuff, you know, I got to have enough good works to wipe out the bad works. I kind of carried that into my Christianity, and I didn't know it because it's just kind of my pattern, my belief system that was kind of programmed like that, okay? So this is how it sort of went. Like, I would say, oh, gosh, if I don't read my Bible every day, God's not going to love me. Isn't that dumb? But I didn't have enough word in me to know that was dumb. And then I was like, oh, if I don't pray every day and pray for people and pray for me, God's not going to love me. Right? That was dumb. But I was thinking that. Okay? If I don't tell people like my two friends did about Jesus, God's not going to love me. Now, I know now today that was dumb. But back then, I didn't know that. And I don't mean to say dumb, but just... yeah, I was dumb, okay? So God was so good because his word is good. I finally got a Bible, I was reading the Bible, and I realized, God opened my eyes, and I realized, wait a minute, God loves me. I don't have to work for his love. Doesn't matter how, if I don't read my Bible, he still loves me. If I don't pray, he still loves me. If I do good or do bad, he still loves me. He's consistent. Everybody say, God just loves me. God just loves me, okay? And then I learned that his love is a part of the inheritance I got when I asked Jesus to be Lord of my life. It was just his love. That's part of the inheritance. He just loves me faithfully, you know, all these great things. So wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. My inheritance is he loves me no matter what. So today, we're going to talk about rewards, all right? And rewards is, now hear me out. Some of you don't throw stones yet, okay? Here we go. And you write this down. Rewards are given to believers in heaven as you work for the Lord. Now, it's not a works mentality. I'm going to get into that. But he's going to reward you. How many of you like rewards, right? Listen, how many of you get a paycheck? How many of you go to work if you didn't get a paycheck? Right, I like the reward. That's my paycheck, all right? God is better. God is great. So he gives rewards as we work for him, okay? But I'm going to tell you, it's not works mentality. We'll get into it, okay? Now, if you decide not to work for him, to serve him, if you decide not to do that, guess what? You still go to heaven if you've received Jesus, right? Isn't that wonderful? If you decide never to read your Bible after you've asked Jesus in your heart, you're a little dumb, but guess what? You still go to heaven. You still get an inheritance. Isn't that wonderful? right? He still loves you, right? So whether I pray enough, God loves me. Whether I read my Bible enough, God still loves me. Whether I serve him passionately, and we sang a great song back then. If I serve him with all my heart, he still loves me. Because that's part of the inheritance. And the inheritance is he loves me. I'm blameless. I'm righteous and all that stuff. But he just loves me. That's part of my inheritance. But I would choose to go full blast because there's rewards. So would you open up to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to look at salvation. Just real quick. Our salvation, or you would say our redemption. All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Most of you can do cartwheels and say this. Yeah, right, D, that was a long time ago. But most of you have known this scripture, all right? So it goes like this. For it is by grace you have been saved. Or that's our redemption, okay? That's our salvation. So for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. That's salvation. It's a gift. I didn't have to work for it. And whoosh, wonderful, okay? Verse 9, it says, not by works, so no one can boast. Not by works, and works we're going to talk about in the good sense. Works, and then there's the negative sense, so it's all these efforts that we do, okay? So, God will reward your efforts. He'll reward you, but guess what? You don't have to work for your salvation. You just say, Jesus, I accept you. I need you, by the way. I need you. I accept you. And he plops a great inheritance into your life. All right? But you don't have to work for that. But the other part is that he will reward as we serve him after. Okay? Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Again, salvation is our inheritance. You don't have to work for it, okay? You go to heaven by receiving Jesus. You don't have to work. You don't have to work. But he rewards works, all right? So y'all at 1 Peter chapter 1, here we go. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth, salvation, right? He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, if you've accepted Jesus, you have a living hope. Heaven is your future place. Isn't that wonderful? That's your future hope, heaven. Heaven is wonderful. Amen. All right, now listen to the verse 4. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. I like that. So you know what? Just right now, Father God, thank you that I have an inheritance. Kept in heaven. I thank you for this inheritance I have now and kept in heaven. That it'll never spoil. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, inheritance. When I think about inheritance, I have to go back to the story. My mom passed away in 1982. I was 28. My dad passed away 10 years later. And the rest of my siblings, so there's a total of 5 that were left, we truck into the lawyer's office. Okay, guess what we're going to listen to? The will, okay? We go into the lawyer's office, and the will goes like this. My dad left the 5 of us 1/5 of his estate. 1/5 of his estate. I was like, all right, that's nice. That's how come we finished the basement. That is where that went, all right? So I was really tickled pink about that, all right? So, but I got to thinking, now just smile. Some of us did more for my dad. Some of us ran him errands. I was not that one. I lived 4 hours away, had 4 little kids. And we would try to get there once every month or 6 weeks. But some of the 5 of us did more, right? Did more, especially my sister Liz. She was still living at my dad's house. And she would go grocery shopping, and she'd take my dad up to Uncle Dave's. But you know what was so great? It didn't matter. It didn't matter that I didn't do more, okay? I had an inheritance. And I had it by birth. Right? Now, some of the other people got a little crabby about that, but I was loving it. And you know what? We have an inheritance, and that's how God does. You have an inheritance by birth. Birth meaning you asked Jesus into your life. That's called the new birth, and you have an inheritance. You didn't have to work for it. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. And you, now the next part is the rewards. Now, that's our inheritance by birth, but the next thing is rewards. And the rewards is what we do after I receive Jesus. What we do after we receive Jesus, and what we do after is we live for him passionately. And he said there's rewards. And I love rewards. I love rewards. Praise God. So Jesus talks a lot about rewards and our efforts and our works, all right? And if you read Matthew and Mark and Luke, this is what he'll say, okay? And he would say this to everybody that was a believing in him. Everybody that was believing in him, he would say, hey, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my disciple, now listen, that's really interesting. If you want to be my disciple, so he's got to distinguish between a Christian with an inheritance, and then there's another one called a disciple. Write those two words down, a Christian and a disciple. And he's talking about these two things here, okay? So this is what he would say a lot of times. If you want to be my disciple, you have to love me more than anyone else on the planet. Everybody say, love me more. Sounds like priority first, you know, all that stuff. But if you want to love me more. Okay, now why is that so important? Why is he saying that? Why is it so important? Now, if you have a rockin' hot marriage, okay, going on, you love your spouse more than hanging out with the girls or the guys, right? You better shake your head if you're sitting next to them, right? You love them more. They're first. The one that you that is first in your life, you will love more and you will please. You work to please them. Now, going out with the guys, yeah, that's okay. That's cool. But, you know, first, we're laughing over here. Go ahead. So you love them more, so you're going to please them more. And this is what Jesus was saying. Hey, listen, if you want to be my disciple, now we have a Christian that has an inheritance, but there's this other thing. If you want to be my disciple, you will love me more than anything on the planet. Yeah, everybody say, I love him more. Okay. Then he would say many times in these in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he'd say, he said, if you want to be my disciple, you'll love me more. And then he goes this one, he says, and if you want to be my disciple, you need to pick up your cross and follow me. Anybody ever read that? Pick up your cross and follow me. Everybody read that? Yeah, because you read your Bibles before you came to church. Right. Okay. Now, what pick up your cross? He's talking about a cross, and the cross symbolized death. You didn't want to end there. That's what it was all about. And what does that mean to us? It means that I'm dead to this world. You know, it's great if they, Jesus, you are the most important thing in my world. I'm going to follow you no matter what, all right? So that we say, this does not lead me, push me, go, do all that. But Jesus, you do. You are first in my life, and I'm just going to follow you all the days of my life. Okay. So here's a question. It's not a trick question. Ready? Here's a question. Ready? If a Christian decides not to love him, Jesus, more than anything else in the planet, if a Christian decides that they're not going to pick up their cross and follow Jesus every day of their life, okay? And then another Christian says he's going to do that. He's going to do that. All right. So here's this question. Will they both go to heaven and receive exactly the same thing? Yes and no. Yes. Yes. Their inheritance. Yes. You guys getting this? Oh, they're awake, Jesus. All right. Yes. They'll both go to heaven and receive their inheritance. And God loves you and he's welcomed you and your family and he clothes you with righteousness and you're blameless and that. But when the other part is when you get to heaven, if you might not have, you won't have, forget the might not, you won't have rewards that God says he will give to all that serve him passionately. Amen. Pastor D, this is so much fun, just making me so happy. I know. Hallelujah. Okay. Listen, God rewards those that make a decision to say, Jesus, you are first in my life. I will lay down some of this other stuff. And I'm just, it doesn't mean you can't do it, but you are first. And I will run after you every day. I will be passionate for the things that you're passionate about. And we're going to talk about what is God passionate about. All righty. So, yes, he rewards us for the things and how we serve him and our efforts. Now, I don't know what yours are. I don't know what they are. Okay, and it talks about in the Bible, it talks about there's crowns laid up for heaven. Anybody read that before? Okay, I don't know what they are, but I know there's rewards up there, and I'm going to be first in the line. So open up to Matthew 5, verse 11. Open up to Matthew 5. I am skipping scriptures here. Let me see. Sorry. Matthew 5. Okay, guys, so I'm not following my notes that I gave you on scriptures. You just, Adam, go Adam. Okay, I'm just like jumping around here. Alrighty. Matthew 5, verse 11. First off, this is Jesus, and he's talking to disciples. Okay, and you can actually take that in the future for us. So you, when you read this, say, hey, he's talking to me. Okay, he's talking to me. Matthew 5, verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Okay, so doesn't take a rocket scientist. He's saying, if you're persecuted, you're blessed. And I want to go, what? Why am I blessed? Well, read verse 12. Here we go. Ready? Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. You see that? For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay. See that word great? It's talking about volume. Volume. There's a great volume of rewards. And that word rewards, got to write this down. Write this down. Here we go. To be compensated for services rendered. That's like getting your paycheck. To be compensated for services rendered. That's what, and we're going to look at that word reward over and over for the next couple of minutes, okay? So here's what he's saying. I will bless you greatly, great volumes, okay, if you're persecuted for me. Everybody go, high five. Great rewards when you get persecuted. Now, I really, you know, I hope I get to heaven without having to be my head chopped off or something like that for persecutions, okay? But look, it says, and you know, I think about Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, the great chapter of faith, of great women in faith. And it talks about some of them, some of them refused to be delivered in this life because they were looking forward for a greater resurrection. They were looking forward for heaven. Okay, so martyrs, ready? Martyrs get great volumes of rewards, right? So now persecution isn't just they chop your head off, okay? Persecution, they talk about, they say not nice things about you. They lie about you, right? How about this? They ostracize you. I didn't get invited to the party. That's because I'm a Christian. That's because you're the pastor. Wonder what they're doing at the party. Okay, for real, it's happened. But, okay, so you know what you should say? Thank you. I got persecuted. Right? You should say thank you. You got persecuted. I can't believe they talk that way about me. And listen, I've been there, done that, and I've had a couple of you come into my office. Pastor, you should see what they're doing to me at work. We should go, oh, God, thank you. I got persecuted because great volumes of rewards are in heaven for me. Yeah, right. You better write that one and practice that all week long, right? Yeah. Okay. So here's another one. Jump down to Matthew 10, verse 41. Matthew 10, verse 41. Here's another one about rewards, okay? If you welcome a prophet because he is a man of God, you will be given the same reward, right, that a prophet gets. Okay. Prophets are in the Old Testament and New Testament, and he's really talking from the Old Testament, but we're going to swing it over to the New Testament. But it does say, what do prophets get? Prophets get what? All right, prophets get rewards. So back in the Old Testament, if a prophet came into town, they didn't have the Marriott and the Holiday Inn. So if you invited the prophet into your home, you fed them, you clothed them, you helped them do their prophet thing, Guess what it says here? You will get the same reward. And prophets, we just read, get rewarded. All right? Now, let's stretch your brain a little bit here. So if I were to take the word prophet out, and we have prophets in the New Testament, but if I were to, and think of fivefold ministry, if I were to take the prophet word out and put the pastor word in there, okay? So I'm putting the pastor word in there. How about this? How about when you volunteer at church, you get the same reward the pastor gets. Okay, all right. All right, so when you volunteer, all righty. Now, listen, this is not a one-man show here. Whoo, baby, it is not. And y'all, I'm looking at all of you, y'all volunteer someplace. If not, just say, I will, I promise, Pastor D, okay? But it takes a lot of people to do what we do, all right? And he's saying, and everyone is valuable, but he's saying, you'll receive the same reward. Okay, it's not, okay, praise the Lord. All right, here's another one. Jump down to the next one. So we're at Matthew 10, jump down to verse 42. This one is great. They're all great, Pastor D. It's the word of God, I know. Okay, verse 42. And if, as my representatives, that's as believers, followers, Christians, if as my representatives, you give even a cup of cold water to a little child, you will surely receive a what? Yeah, okay. So what does it mean to give a cup to a child? This is the way I interpret it, okay? It's just helping the helpless. Helping the helpless. Anytime you help somebody that's helpless, and listen, the sky's the limit on how you do that. But anytime you help somebody that's helpless, what does he say you're going to receive? That's a good word, reward. You should be yelling out, rewards, Pastor D, all right? And listen, he's saying, I will reward you because God is a rewarder. Praise God. All right. One more scripture about this. It's found in the last book of the Bible. It's actually Jesus talking in the book of Revelation. So turn to Revelations 22. Revelations 22. Okay. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to those that have accepted Jesus. Here it goes. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. It's not talking about your inheritance, right? Okay, so he's going to, you know, plain as day, he's going to reward you for your works that you've done after, okay? So, yes, we all have an inheritance. Yes, you don't have to work for it, but Jesus is saying over and over that he's going to reward you for your works. Now, I'm going to jump over to the epistles. The epistles are written to the church. Okay, we're the church. Okay, this is after Jesus died and rose again. We're called the church. So he's writing, this is going to be Paul, he's writing to the church. So turn over to Hebrews 10:6. Hebrews 10:6. This is good. Okay. Hebrews 10:6. God is not unjust. He will not forget your... You have to hold the card up so you all say it together. Okay. He will not forget your works and the love you have shown to him as you have helped people and continue to help them. Okay. So listen to this. I like that first part. God is not unjust. He will not forget your works. So I want to encourage you. God sees all that you've done for him. Not this works mentality, but he sees it. And he said he's going to reward you. All right. So if you're like, especially I know there's a bunch of you. Nobody knows what you've done for the Lord. All right. And that's good. That's cool. All right, but you just need to be encouraged. What you've done, he says, I'll reward you. All righty, and I have to think. Okay, sometimes my brain's in the wrong place. If he didn't reward you for picking up your cross, dying to this world, and all sorts of things, and laying down your life, I would have said, "Hey, he's not such a just God." Am I the only one that gets sassy like that? Well, you're not. But he doesn't. He says, I am going to reward you for your work. So he's a cool looking God, isn't he? Praise God. Now, I want to connect that scripture with this one. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Praise the Lord. You know the first part. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists. Get the second part ready. And he rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek him. All right? So he's a rewarder of people that are, you know, passionate after him. Am I making that up, or is that looking good? All right? So, praise the Lord. He's a rewarder. Now, this is the killer, smash the pie in the face scripture. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. Praise the Lord. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, right? And they will each be rewarded according to their labors. Labors meaning your efforts for the Lord. Your works, your efforts, your labors for the Lord. So, now again, you don't work for salvation. You don't work for your inheritance. You just simply believe. Jesus, thank you. I have this inheritance. But listen to this. He says, one who plants. Well, who's the one in this reference? The one who plants, he was talking about the Apostle Paul. The one who plants is the one who leads people to Jesus. That was the Apostle Paul. Okay. And the one who waters, it happened to be Apollos, is the one who is teaching people, right? Teaching them about Jesus, teaching about helping them grow, helping them be grow group leaders, baby. Shizzy. All right, so we've got one who plants and one who waters. And you know what he says? God sees their labors and they're both rewarded. They're rewarded to do that. So I could take that and say, hey, you get rewarded when you lead someone to Jesus. Hey, you get rewards when you have a grow group, when you come along somebody and call them up once a week and say, hey, how's life going? And you give them a word. Sounds like there's rewards there, doesn't it? Now, I don't do what I do, and you don't do what you do for works and stuff, but I can't help it, right? Praise the Lord, can't help it. So, there's rewards. And the interesting thing, it doesn't matter what you do. If you're a planter or a waterer. Didn't say, oh, waterers, they get more. Didn't say that, did it? Oh, planters, they get more. It just says they were rewarded for their labors. Right? And you know, sometimes we think, well, God, you know, I'm just doing this little thing in life. You got rewards, baby, right? You got rewards. Don't go putting yourself down. All right. So I like that next part. It says, according to your own labors. Hallelujah. So I look at you, I look at my life, and I say, whoa, I'm serving the Lord. I look at you. You go, you're serving the Lord. Praise God. You're picking up your cross. You're following him. Praise God. We got rewards. Amen. You should be smiling today. I got rewards. I got rewards. Shoo, you came to church. You get rewards. Praise the Lord. All right, jump down to verse 13. Verse 13. Let me find where I am here. Verse 13. Their works will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Now, he's talking about when we stand before the Lord Jesus at judgment. All right? Now, that judgment is not whether we get into heaven, all right? This is, okay, you automatically get there when you receive Jesus. But this judgment is when we're going to stand before the Lord. Now, you're already in, right? You're already in. You didn't have to work. You're already in. You say, I'm in. But this judgment, you stand before the Lord Jesus, and he's going to look at your works and give out rewards, okay? So this one should be smiley faces, right? You're in the right line with the smiley faces, okay? I lost my place. Praise the Lord. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's works. Okay. So you're going to be rewarded for your labors, your efforts for serving the Lord and sharing Jesus and just, you know, going into a nursing home the sky's the limit here. Okay. But I like this part where it says, it will be revealed by fire. Again, that's the judgment. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Everybody look at me real serious. He's going to test, not me, the quality of your works for the Lord. Right? Yeah. Oh, the pastor, this is a happy place. Yes, it is. Okay. The quality of your works. Now, I didn't read verses 9 through 13 because of time, but you should read that. I encourage you to read that whole chapter there. But it talks about works, wood, hay, and, wood, hay, stubble, hay, straw. What? Yeah, okay, good. And then it talks about precious stones and silver and gold, okay? So there's some kind of works that are wood, hay, and stubble, and there's some kind of works that are precious stones and gold and silver. Well, guess what happens when gold and silver gets tested by fire? It survives. It does purify, but it comes through. What happens to wood, hay, and stubble? Gets burnt up, baby, right? It gets burnt up, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Pastor, he gets burnt up, okay? So we have an inheritance, but we are still going to stand before the Lord Jesus at judgment, not to get us into heaven or where we can't come in, but we come in because of what Jesus has done and you've received him. But we will stand at judgment for the works and serving him with gladness and passionately. And praise God if you've got precious things that make it through the test, okay? Now, if you don't work for the Lord, passionate, love him, love what he loves, which is people, serve him all different ways. Guess what? No rewards if you don't. Yeah, if you don't, there's no rewards. But if you do, great rewards, great volumes of rewards, okay? So he's saying, I'm going to reward you. All right, jump down to verse 14 and 15. We'll wrap this apart up. It says, if what has been built survives, praise the Lord, that's going to mean goes through the fire. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. Yay! All right, rewards. If it's burnt up, that's the wood, the hay, and the stubble. If it's burnt up, right? The builder will suffer loss. Okay, what's he suffering? He's losing his rewards. Not salvation, right? He's going to suffer loss, okay? Ready? But, I love when they put the button there, yet will be saved. That means he still has an inheritance. He's still coming into the heavens, okay? And he's going to spend eternity with Jesus. He still has that, but guess what happened to his pile? Nothing. It got burnt up, right? So even though only has to escape through the fires, all right. So I think it's pretty clear. You get rewards by serving the Lord, by working for it, but having efforts, all righty? Okay? And now, when I got to thinking about my life, I got to thinking about your life. Do you know that, and I could preach a whole sermon, I will put it down for next year. Okay, you have calls in your life. Look at the person and say, you are called. You are called. You have callings in your life. And guess, I would love to call you. I got a list a mile long what I want you all to do. But God's given you callings to do for him in your life. Everybody say, I'm called. Yeah, you better say that. Okay. Okay. You were created to do things for the Lord on this planet. Everybody just got really quiet and think of that. I was called. I was created to do things for God. Some of you are like, no, that's Pastor D. No, no, no. I was called. God called me and created me to do things for him. Okay. Now, my calling right now is pastor. Your calling right now might be volunteer, in-house, out-house, whatever, okay? But y'all have a calling, right? Y'all have a calling, okay? Now, as long as I do what I'm called to do, I get rewarded. As long as you're doing what you're called to do, you get some rewards, right? Everybody say, I'm called. Praise God, all right? So we're all called, and he's going to reward us. Praise the Lord. Now, so I got to thinking, what happened if I didn't answer the call? Let me tell you, I had that argument. I know exactly where I was on Route 30 having this argument with God on what if I not to do this, okay? So, but what happened if I not do my calling? Now, you say that to yourself. What happens if I don't do the thing God called me to do? Now, don't look at me. look at yourself, okay? What happens if you don't do the things, the callings, the purpose that you're called to do? Okay, well, one, are you going to heaven? Yes. Okay, do you have an inheritance in heaven? Yes. Okay, isn't that wonderful? But I got to thinking, and now maybe some of you are really more spiritual than I am. I'm probably, yep, probably. Okay, but what happens if I said, now I believe in rewards, but what happens if I said, well, how about if I believed everybody gets the same rewards when they get to heaven? All right, y'all get them. You get a pile, you get a pile, you get a pile. Everybody gets the same. How about if I would have said, you know what, God, this pastoring thing, this is hard work. People are up and down, man. Blah. You know, how about if I would have said, you know, since we get the same, I'll just let you do it. You can take over this baby, okay? I thought that one time. Yeah, right, Pastor D. Okay, but let me tell you why we serve the Lord. Why I serve the Lord is because I know that you and me are going to stand before the Lord. And he is not an unjust God. He will reward your efforts. And I look at people and I go, God, you've called me. Now, not because I'm pastor, because I am a Christian. Called me to affect, to labor, to serve, to shine, to touch, to love, to put into people what you've done to me. And there's a great reward. Amen? There's a great reward. So, I want to encourage all of you. I hope I didn't discourage you, okay? Now, listen, this is where you can get discouraged because I went through about 10 years like this. If you're a mommy, if you have a bucket load of kids, shoo, if you have one kid, they're a lot of work, right? Okay? And I went through a season and I look at mommies and you're in a season right now where you may be thinking, well, I can't do the things that I know God's put in my heart. I'm just chasing kids, doing laundry, doing the whole thing every single day, you know. Okay, you're in a season. That's okay, all right? Or maybe you're in a season where you've got elderly parents and they're just, you know, you're consumed with that. You're helping them out. I have a dear friend. She heads up a ministry. She's an only child, and she has two elderly parents, and she is constantly serving them. And sometimes she's like, there's so many things God's put in my heart, I can't do it. That's okay. You're in a season. Everybody say, I'm in a season. Only the mommies were allowed to say that right now. Okay, you're in a season, okay? God understands that we get into different seasons. And I don't want you to walk out feeling condemned. But seasons change, right? You go from one to another. I thought my season was forever the foyer. I thought, dear Jesus, if I ever get out of this foyer with a little kid who was crying, who wouldn't stay in the nursery, okay? I thought that was my whole season for life. It seemed like eternity. And it took about 10 years. And then I volunteered in the nursery and children's ministry. And you know, those are things that I just, this is my call. I love. I can't not, okay? But there's a season, okay? Now, this is the last part. Some of you, I'm not going to look at you. Some of you have calls in your life. All of you have calls in your life, okay? And I want to close up the service and we're going to pray. And I want you to pray. And if you cry out to God and say, God, I've not walked in my calling. And God, I need your help. I thank you, Lord. I'm just going to let go of things that might be wood, hay, and stubble. And God, I'm going to hold on to precious things and I'm going to just run with you, run passionately with you, okay? So, and some of you might say, I don't know what my calling is. I remember doing that. That was like another 10 years. Well, I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know what I'm called to do. This is how you start. Ready? Everybody say, I surrender. I surrender my life. That's how you start. God, I don't know what it is, but I want to know what it is. God, I want to know what I'm called to be, called to do. You be, do, okay, do. I want to know, and I'm just going to surrender, and I want to surrender to you, and I want to just run for you, run passionately for you, okay? So this is how we're going to finish. Ready? God is not an unjust God. He rewards your labors. Amen? Let's pray. Praise God. Nobody's feeling condemned here. You're all encouraged, right? Okay, how about we just start with, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are a just God. And I thank you, God, that you reward me for my life serving you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you that you're a rewarder. I thank you reward our labors. And I don't know what these rewards are. We'll find out later. But thank you. Thank you that you're a rewarder. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Lord, today we say, yes, God. Yes. I will run after you. I will run passionately for what you have passionately sent Jesus for. I will run and pour into people. I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Just bow your heads and close your eyes just a little bit longer. If you came here today and you don't know, if you don't even know if you have an inheritance, you've never accepted Jesus. Like, this is like, whoa, what is she talking about? And I'm talking about an inheritance. And your inheritance, Jesus said, was simply to believe that God sent Jesus to die for you, to give you a great inheritance. That heaven would be your future home, but so much even as you live on this earth. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor D, that's me. Well, listen, the Bible says that those that call on the name of Jesus, he would save. He said, if you would believe that I am the Savior and believe in your heart and just say that, I would bring your inheritance. I would bring you into my family. So if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, that's me, and I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I desire. I want Jesus. I want this great inheritance. How about we all just pray this prayer? So if you're praying this, pray it out loud. Matter of fact, we're all going to pray it out loud. How about we all stand up? Pray it out loud so you can hear it, okay? And then after you pray this, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Everybody say, Lord God, I make a decision today to accept Jesus as my Savior. And Jesus, I'm deciding today to follow you all the days of my life. I thank you. I'm now a child of God. Heaven is my future home. And I am going to serve you. Amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer,